Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is dealing with me still concerning us, is concerning our hearts, concerning our thoughts, concerning things that is a strain on our black brain and that is causing us to be consumed even in the wee hours of the night. We tossing and turning, we can't sleep, we can't get that thing or get past that thing or get over that thing or be able to even forgive that thing. We don't want to accept that thing. We don't want to accept even the things that's going on in the inside of us while we assuming or making accusations or pointing the finger or wagging the heads at somebody else. We got justifications and allegations and accusations. We got all kind of shuns going on, says the Lord. We as people, the Lord is still dealing with us. He's still dealing with us because he want to get us right. He want us to be able to be in that place where we can be able to see his face without a spot or without a wrinkle. He want us to get it right. I want everybody to come up here, please, and get some oil. I want you to anoint yourself. Put some oil on your hands. Sit down, baby. And anoint your feet. You gotta take off socks. Anoint your feet. Anoint your forehead.
Can't nobody fix us like you can. Can't nobody fix us like you can, Jesus.
Why are you standing there?
Can't nobody make us whole but you, Jesus. God, you're so good to us. In spite of our sinful ways, you still bless us.
Put oil on your forehead, on your temple, around your ears. Here, y'all need some more oil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us in our minds on tonight, Lord. Touch us in our hearts on tonight, God. Remove the hardness of the heart and the stiff neck. Remove any disobedience, God, and rebellion. Remove any thoughts that we have that causes us to even want to disregard what you want to say to the church on tonight, God. Give us a heart of acceptance and forgiveness and absolutions on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let us not point the finger and wag your head at one another, God. But let us search ourselves on tonight, Father God, with a sincere and a pure heart. Purge us on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we may be able to see your face, God. Let us not hold on to stuff, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you need to get yellow sheets of paper, array of pens, get them now, please, you guys. And start writing this stuff down. You just anointed yourself. So it does not matter if you wrote down some stuff earlier. You wrote that down out of your own will. Right now, God has covered you with his oil. He has covered you with his oil. And you have, as you anointed yourself, you should have been praying for yourself. So your mind is in a different place. Your heart is in a different state. And you need to write down all this stuff. Write down all this stuff right now, because we don't want no hindrances. We don't want no more stumbling blocks. We don't want to delay nothing. We don't want to deny nothing. We don't want to forfeit nothing. Tonight is a night that we want to take accountability and acknowledge some things that's down in the inside. inside of our hearts, and we want to be real. We want to be true. We don't want to pretend. We don't want to fake. We don't want to suppress. We do not want to resent. We don't want to hate. We don't want to be bitter. We don't want to have any of these seeky, no, not need no go sheep. And God is talking about us, the believers. He's talking about us that's in the church. He's talking about us that know him, heard him, have supped with him. He's talking about us as the ones that have experienced him. And as we, the believers, we got to get this thing together. We got to get it together if you want to see his face. I want to see his face, y'all. And I want everybody else to see his face. Help us, Lord. Take away all these thorns, God, that we have. Take away all these thorns, Lord. Take away that unforgiveness in our hearts, God. Or that thing that was said to us. That thing that was done to us. That conversation that we had. That situation that we had to go through. That experience, God. That violation. That trespass. That sin, that agitation, all that stuff, remove it. These things that he got me calling out, these are the things that hinder us from forgiving one another. These are the things that keep us in that place of bondage in our thoughts. So you need to ask God to take it away. Because if it's not taken away, you cannot live holy. You ain't gonna think holy. You ain't gonna think righteous. You ain't gonna look at people with a right state of mind, with a right state of thought. The name of the sermon tonight is Forgiving the Unforgivable. Yeah. It's some things that's hard for us to forgive folk for. We still ain't forgave folk for. We still holding on to this stuff. We do not want to confess it. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to face it. And we sure don't want to talk about it, baby. That's what God said. That's what he been saying. Father God, I'm asking you to touch each and every last one of us on tonight, Lord. Covers in your blood and hide us behind your cross. Give us your strength, your peace, your hope, and even your direction. Lord, there's so many things that we're holding on in the inside of our hearts, God, that we really want to let it go. It's even some things, Father God, that we think we let it go, Father God, and then in actuality, it's still some residue there. Move that residue of unforgiveness, God. Shift it to a thing in a place of forgiveness. Why you the local shut now? Bind it up, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and loose freedom in our hearts from unforgiveness, God. Do it at the kona makashani de loco sanaha. Help us on today, God. Help us right now at this time and at this moment, God. That we will be loose from these things, Jesus. Free us from that old stuff that we keep holding on to and preventing us from doing things that are good. We practicing too much evil, says God. We thinking too wickedly, says the Lord. Because of the old stuff. Because of that old conversation. Leading to our own understanding. Allowing ourselves to be entrapped in that place of misery and error, says the Lord. We in error, says God. Help us on tonight, God. Remove all this stuff that we won't be quarreling and bickering, God, and arguing and going back and forth and all the foolishness that's not pleasing in your sight, God. Help me, Lord. See, you better make it personal. Huh. I'm making it personal for me. Because I don't want to err, neither cause God's people to err. And if I don't approve myself and pull a beam out of my eye and a mote and all that other foolishness, how can I see clearly to help anybody else? Help me, God. Me, Lord. Give us a heart to accept our mess, our foolishness, that we won't disregard your will and your word. Your word, God, is what's going to make us free. Give us a heart to accept your word tonight, Jesus. Give us a heart. Can't nobody do it but you, Lord. We done tried to get it right. We done tried to think right. We done tried to act right. We done tried to talk right. We done tried to be right. We done tried to treat each other right. We done tried. We can't do it. Oh, he's faithful and he's just. I thank God that he's just. Can't nobody do it. Can't nobody do it. Can't nobody do it but you, Jesus. I can't fix me, God. I can't get me right. You better make it personal. You better make it go shut down. If you want to be free, if you want to be holy, and you want to be right with God, not nobody else. Ha. I bind up any and every spirit that's trying to engage and entangle your people, God, in the name of Jesus. And I lose your word. I lose your freedom. I lose your love. I lose yourself as he cutting it up. Because we know that the flesh is weak. The flesh don't want to accept nothing. Why? Because Jesus in the flesh, he did not want to accept his very own death to free us. But he did. Because he said, nevertheless. But Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, God. But nevertheless, not what I want. It's what you want. I submit, Lord. I bow down, Jesus. I give it all, God. I'm talking about Jesus, so you know we ain't even better than him at all. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. He come to the see. Let not that pride of life, that ego, let not that haughtiness in it. And that daintiness, God, prevent us, God, from regarding and disregarding. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, to accept your truth. To accept your word, God. Help us, Lord. He is faithful and just. He say, I will forgive you your sins, and I will throw them in a sea of forgetfulness. Why we can't do that with one another? Because we ain't got the right kind of love in our heart. For the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And there should not be absolutely nothing that is so hard for us to forgive one another for if we got the love of God inside of us. Because God is love. We are believers. We are sons and daughters. And if we call ourselves sons and daughters and been engrafted in, it shouldn't be hard to forgive or get past some things. So there go that word right there. We got to get past the past. Let me tell y'all what the Lord told me today. This morning, I woke up and I had to use the restroom, and so I went to the restroom. And in the midst of me going to the restroom, when I got through, I washed my hands and I went and laid back down. And when I laid back down, I looked at my clock. And so I went back to sleep. And in the midst of me going back to sleep, I had a dream. I had a dream. Y'all know the Lord deals with me in interpreting dreams and stuff like that. So, in the midst of me having this dream, Here's the dream right here. I got a FaceTime phone call from one of my babies in Michigan, and his name is Dorian. I got oil running all over me. And when he FaceTimed me, he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Auntie, I called to tell you that your sister passed away." I say, "Whose sister?" He say, "Your sister, Monique." I say, "Oh my gosh, I got to hurry up and get up there because I need to be there for my niece because her brother got killed last year and her other brother's in prison." And she says, "Sir, my sister only had 3 children." I said, "I got to hurry up and get up there." So I jumped in my car and I was driving up the highway, and it wasn't a lot of people on this highway, and it was real smooth, and the road did not look like the black pavement tar. It looked like it was like the white cement. That's what it looked like. I'm telling y'all every little bitty detail. Yeah, like a sidewalk or a driveway. And so I was just driving, in the midst of me driving, I was on the highway, and it was maybe about 4 or 5 other cars besides mine, so it wasn't a lot. And I was finna go, pay attention to what I'm saying, y'all, every word. I was coming up to an overpass that I had to go under the pass. And so I'm wondering why the people slowing down, because it ain't no accident or nothing, and I'm in a rush. And so when I got closer to the cars that were slowing down, which was only a few of us, I saw a plane on the highway. And the plane had landed on the highway, but it was turning around so that it can go back where it was coming from. Are y'all listening? So I said, okay, it ain't that many cars, and I ain't got time to be waiting on this airplane. So let me back up and go back over the pass that I just left. So when I tried to back up to go back over that overpass, it was a white car coming down it, and I couldn't get past to go back over the pass. Huh. So I stopped right there and looked in the front, and I looked in the back, and then I woke up. And I told the prophetess about this dream, and the Lord ain't give me nothing. And so he told me to come to the sanctuary today. So as soon as I walked through the door, I just started going in, praying. And by the time I got to the front, because I dropped everything at the door, by the time I got to the front, he told me to start dancing. I was when you ain't here with God, you get away. You lose all track of time. You look, I got here at 1:15. When I was getting ready to walk out the door, I looked at my clock, it was 4:15. So when you get in the presence of the Lord, listen. So after I left, I said, well, let me stop at Dollar Tree because I know we need some more glass cleaner and, you know, just getting the little stuff that I need for the church. I said, let me stop at Dollar Tree. And then when I got in my car, the Lord interpreted my dream. See, I'm going to try to hold it together. So, as I was detailing my whole dream, And I start telling my God sister about my dream. He started interpreting it to me. Because I had told the prophet earlier, he didn't give me nothing. As I was talking to my God sister and I was telling her, I said, oh, I ain't even tell you about my dream. And so in the midst of me telling her about the dream, he started giving me the revelation. So the cement, the representation of that, if you pay attention to different roads, the pavement that they use out there for us to ride on the street, it's like tar and what you call it, asphalt or something. See, it got all kind of bumps. It got holes. I wasn't driving on that kind of pavement. I was on white pavement, like cement, and it was real smooth. Did you? That's the kind of. So. It wasn't a difficult journey.
Yes.
But from here to Michigan is anywhere from 14 hours to 16 hours, depending on how you driving and you gotta stop and get gas. It's a, it wasn't a bumpy journey. It just was a long journey. See, this just dreams for Yvette. So, as I was riding up this highway and I was trying to get to my destination, I had to go under this overpass. But I couldn't go under it to get past it because it was an airplane there that had landed. See, I had already got past that ship. See, it had landed. And because I wanted to go back to it, the airplane was representing. The airplane was turning around, going back where it came from. You see, I never made it to that bridge to go under the pass because I didn't got past that pass. So I needed it. And so because I was trying with any and everything in me to get to that thing, because I said, well, let me back up then and try to go back over the pass. He said, you done got past the pass. Why are you still trying to go over the pass? He said, there is absolutely nothing that you can do, say, convince, or persuade your sister concerning the pass to make her. Y'all ain't getting it. I'm just gonna turn around in a circle. He said, so the plane was representing, so you know the plane represents speed. Get there right quick. It didn't, That the only thing that plane was doing was landing and turning around. In other words, that's already been settled. So I need you to turn back around and go back, because that, and then in him telling me that she was dead, he was just letting me know that she's spiritually dead.
Yeah. Come on.
So I couldn't go under the pass and neither could I go back over the pass. So I have to turn around. Y'all see why I keep turning around? You know, see, I can't. Why am I telling y'all this story? Because if you keep staying in the past and you keep going over that path and keep going under that path, then you're going to be just stuck right there. You ain't going to be able to go on that journey that he got you on. Now, you can be on that cement or you can be on that asphalt. It's your choice. Hire the local son. We are talking about quickly. So he told me that the plane represents, I'm just redeeming the time for you. demon attack. I'm just done.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so I say, is this why you start talking to me? Or for the last 2 weeks, he's been having me to talk about this stuff. And so he said, yeah, you gonna tell the people tonight, forgiving the unforgivable. Let's go to the book of Luke. See, I'm gonna say this. He got to deal with me first, that I can get it, so that I can give it to you guys, so that you will be able to break that cycle. You gotta break that cycle, baby. You got to forgive the unforgivable. You got to get past the past. Stop trying to go over it. Stop trying to go under it. How do you go under it? By being stuck, and it got you under that bridge. You can't even get past that bridge. You can't go under that bridge. You can't go over the past. Stop trying to go past the past. Because these are the thorns. These are thorns. We can't get past that conversation because you keep going over it. You keep going on. It's got you. It's like you can't get past that conversation. You can't get past that hurt. You can't get past what that person said. You can't get past how that person violated you. You can't get past how they disrespected you. You can't, baby. You can stay there. See. I told y'all I was on a smooth road. My journey may be long, baby, but it ain't gonna be bumpy. I ain't gonna hit that pothole and bust my tie either. I ain't gonna be trying to swerve and get out the way of that. I'm just saying. Ain't that what we do when we on the road driving and we
trying to avoid them holes and them
bumps? Turn that fan on, please. I'm just saying. I'm trying to help y'all to break some things. You got to want these things to be broken. So why am I saying, I'm finna give you the word to prove it. I'm finna give you the word to prove it. And I'm talking about us as believers. Because you cannot reason with a fool. You can't. It ain't no way, no how, no form, no fashion. Luke chapter 17. I'm talking about how he dealing with event that I may be able to help y'all to deal with yourself. So that you can deal with yourself. So that you can deal with your own foolishness. The own actions that's inside of your heart. Because the reason why we got a sickness and all this other mess going on in our body is because of unforgiveness. It's saying in the book, I'm not making it up, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, y'all better read it. Y'all better read it. So you know, I used to give the Lord, I used to give communion every 3rd Sunday. I used to give communion. You know, when I was coming up, they gave it to us on the 1st. And so, in the midst of me giving communion, I think it's been maybe 3 years now, the Lord ain't allowed me to give communion. I said, Lord, why you ain't? He say, because your hearts ain't right and I'm trying to let you live. See, when the Bible says, when we give it and take a communion, we doing it in remembrance of him. But what are we remembering? Absolutely nothing. Because we're not living the word. Which is the truth. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. That's just a waste of money. And a waste of, because it's a symbolic act that is not considered sacred enough for us to even be worthy enough to take it. Because of this right here. This right here. Look. chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Forgiving the unforgivable, that's the name of the sermon. To forgive is to cease to feel resentment against any offender. To forgive is to cease to have feelings of anger or bitterness towards someone. To forgive is to dismiss a thing as of little importance. We don't do that because when we offended, baby, it's important that you know that you offended me because I'm going to crack your head or I'm going to disrespect you or I'm going to yell, I'm going to scream, I'm going to argue, I'm going to lie on you, I'm going to convince others to... Unforgivable is too bad to be excused, justified, or forgiven. That is what an offense is. Offense is something that is unforgivable in our eyesight because that's what we believe. You have offended me and I can't forgive you. It's hard for me to get past some things. It's hard for me to get over some things. It's hard for, the Lord wouldn't let me go past and over and under. He did because the past is just that, the past. So guess what? Anybody come to me saying anything about the past, what was said, what was done, because anything that I say or anything that I do is for our learning and not just for yours, I'm shutting you down. Because baby, I'm gonna see that. And I'm walking on my journey smoothly. Smoothly. Without wrath and resentment and dishonesty and bitterness and hate and all the stuff that's sticking me, these thorns. And so if they hurt me, if I got a thorn, if you touch a rose, it's a thorn on there. So it's hurting if you touch it. So if I got a thorn sticking out of me because I'm hurting, guess what? I'm going to hurt you too. Hurt people, hurt people. They don't know no other way. Because the heart is deceitful. And desperately, we be desperately, baby, we be so desperate to get back and get revenge until we premeditate. If we don't get them back as soon as we want to, we've got a master plan in motion to do it sooner or later. Come on, y'all. I'm just telling the truth. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Do rebuke mean screaming and hollering and yelling and... No! Rebuke is openly telling you your error. Rebuke is not embarrassment. Rebuke is not making you feel worthless. Rebuke is not making you feel less than. Rebuke is exposing the error. Look that word up. Y'all think I'm kidding. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in one day, and 7 times in a day, turn again to thee saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So this is forgiving the unforgivable. You know what you're doing. You know, and you intentionally doing it. And so you turn around and you tell me that you sorry this minute. And a couple of hours later, you offend me and do something to me again intentionally. And it can be in a whole nother area. I still supposed to forgive you. out of a sincere heart. I just read that Sunday and again on Tuesday. And if I forgive you out of a sincere heart and you keep repenting, what do that mean? Do it mean that you mean it? Do it mean that you're trying not to offend me? Because you keep doing it and you done did it 7 times today. And then you came to me and you said you were sorry and I forgave you, but then the next you did it something else. And then, so should I, is that unforgivable? In your mind, he, her, they, we, all of us, I say, it's unforgivable, right? Because you keep doing it. If you trying to change and you are sincere in your heart, you ain't going to keep doing it. Why you going to keep sinning against me? Why you keep trying to hurt me? If you for real. And so, because I feel some type of way because you offended me and you keep doing it and I keep saying I forgive you. Do I really forgive you? I'm just saying. Now, I'm giving y'all both sides of it. Is you really sincere about your repentance? Or am I really sincere about my forgiveness? It go both ways, baby. We ain't floating this boat on one side because we may get knocked over in that water. We got to have some balance. We got to have some balance. So in your repentance or in my forgiving, what is it, real? Or two? What you say, baby? Two wrongs don't make no right, but who want to admit they wrong? Who want to admit they right? Who want? I'm free to prove it. Can I prove it to y'all? Well, let's go to the book of Matthew's then. Chapter 18. I'm just going to read 3 verses. That's it. That's it. See, I got proof of our foolishness. I got proof of our messy selves. Of our wicked acts and our evil thoughts. I got proof about us's. Me, you, her, him, they, we are all of us's. Ain't nobody in here exempt, not even me. Dude, baby. We talking about us believers. See, this is why so many people in church is busting hell wide open. The Bible say hell has enlarged itself. Because of what? Us is being our self-righteous, or I ain't doing nothing, or justifying our mess, or lying, or even lying on others, or bewitching ourselves, or pointing a finger, accusing one another. What's the ultimate? Leaning to our own understanding. We're a mess. A hideliosha of one. I ain't entertaining it. I'm not. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to start at verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Trespass? What is trespass? It's a violation of moral or social ethics. It's to commit an offense. Did I just talk about them offenses? What is offense? It's a state of being insulted or morally outraged. It's a breaking of a moral, legal, or social code. It's the act or action of setting upon with force or violence. It's an act or expression showing scorn and usually intended to hurt another's feelings. What is offense? It's a feeling of being offended or resentful after a slight or indignity. Am I giving it to y'all plain tonight? I don't want to lose nobody. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So you ain't got to pick up no phone and tell nobody absolutely nothing that happened that offended you between you and somebody else. That's messy. That's foolishness. But what we call it, venting. But you ain't doing nothing but planting seeds in this person about this person. Yeah. What is it for? It's a responsibility for wrongdoing or failure. It's to express one's unfavorable opinion of the worth or quality of. It's a defect in our character. It's an unintentional departure from truth or accuracy. Because it's a lot of times that we unintentionally have fought against somebody else because we what? Lean to our own understanding. So we're not intentionally doing it. We're just unintentionally doing it. But we're not aware that we're doing it unintentionally. See, I'm trying to help us tonight. I'm trying to help us. So when I come to you and tell you your fault against me, it's not that I'm putting or pointing a finger. The Bible says I'm supposed to come to you and come to you alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. That's why the Bible says confess your faults to one another. So if I come to you and I tell you, I say, you know what? You offended me because you said this and you said that. Pay attention. A confession is not this. Listen. Well, I said that because you said this. No, that's not a confession. The Bible says confess your fault. I'm coming to you telling you why I got a problem with you. In the midst of you coming to me telling me why you got a problem with me, and I'm listening to you, when you get done, I try to help you because you unintentionally got a fault against me for absolutely no reason. So if I'm trying to help you to see that, you do not want to take accountability for your error that I never accused you of, but I'm trying to help you to see because you lean to your own understanding. You got a fought against me for absolutely no reason. Because if I'm giving you, listen to this. Let me give y'all this, finish this definition. A defect in character, an unintentional departure from truth or accuracy, the state of being held as the cause of something that needs to be set right. When we come to one another, and I'm telling you the fault or that problem that I have with you, we should be able to reason together so that we can have them right thoughts about one another and pray for one another so our healing can begin. For the Bible says, confess your faults to one another, then pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's why we can't reason again. The Bible says we got to reason again. And just because you don't agree with what I agree or I don't agree with what you agree does not mean you got to be mad at me. Because your viewpoint is different from my viewpoint. And if your viewpoint is causing you to err or believe that you have fought or in art against me, then I am going to try to reason with you to help you to see without a shadow of a doubt, so that we could be established in what? Peace. But a lot of us want to disregard truth. The Bible says so. Listen. He's talking about believers, y'all. But if he would not hear you, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three every word will be established. What is established? To make firm and stable, to introduce and cause to grow and multiply. It's to put into a favorable position, to put beyond doubt, to show the existence or the truth of by evidence. So if I come to you and I try to ask you something or discussing a fault with you and you don't want to hear it, then I'm going to have some witnesses. Not nobody who's going to be on my side or your side, but somebody who is going to stand there that witnessed a thing. And in the midst of it, the Bible says that we, in that scripture, we should be able to reason with one another. And how about taking accountability? Acknowledging it. Really, what is wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with it. That's the way God wants us to be, that we may be released. So if it's an art or it's a problem going on and you being addressed about it, and then you get all upset and you get mad, then the witnesses come and the witnesses are saying the exact same thing, and then you still mad and you still getting upset. And so, okay, we taking it before the church. So when taking it before the church, I mean taking it before God. So if it's going before God and you still, listen, this is what the Bible says. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. What do neglect mean? To give little attention or respect to, as in disregard. So we don't want to respect the truth. The non-performance of an assigned or expected action, to miss the opportunity or obligation, to fail to give proper attention to. A lot of us don't want to put that pride or that ego down. We don't want to be, we don't want to do it right. Listen to this. He say, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. What do that mean? Let him be as one of the people that's on the outside of the believers. Because you cannot reason with a fool. And who do Jesus call heathens? Non-believers. He called the liars heathens. He calls the hard-headed and the stiff-necked, the disobedience and the rich. He calls it. I was a heathen, though. I was a wretch undone. And I'm still striving, because I haven't obtained, because I still get angry. The Bible said anger and sin not. How do I sin? In my mind. In my thought. Which would make me react or act towards an individual in a way that is not what? Pleasing in the sight of God. Is it all these thorns that's causing me to check myself in forgiving the unforgivable? So do I really forgive you? So then it goes on and on and on. And then after a while you come and you repent. and you tell the truth and you release in it. And so the question stands, well, why you didn't do that in the beginning? So that there could be peace. And let me say the word that he always wants us to practice. Reconciliation. He wants us to be in unity. Why do he say that? Because no matter what you do, how you treat me, or what, I still should forgive you out of a sincere heart. Because if we keep on reading, because I preached this Sunday, he said, do it out of a sincere heart. And if you read on and say, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's why I started binding up stuff when I was praying. In chapter, in verse 22, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto seven times 70. This is what I preach Sunday. Okay, let me get to that scripture that says, out of a sincere heart. I'm going to keep on reading. I'm going to start from 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him, it's far between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. So in other words, what the Lord is trying to tell us is that we have to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. In submitting ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord, we are submitting ourselves unto one another. If we submit ourselves unto one another, we can sincerely go to one another and take accountability of our actions. We will take accountability of them, and we will confess them without any shame, embarrassment, fear, hesitation, or any doubt. We will not allow ourselves to fall victim and give the devil room to come into the. Because if we give him room by not taking accountability and by not confessing, we giving him room to come in. Because I'm not going to confess and I'm going to suppress and I'm going to keep it in because I don't want nobody to look at me some type of way. I'm not going to confess and I'm just going to be quiet and I'm just going to listen. And so, don't you know you giving the devil room to talk to you? He talking to you because you won't talk to nobody else about your mess. So while he talking to you in your ear, he got you where in bondage. He got you in darkness. He got you going over the past, under the past. He got you. And then you lean into your own understanding. You in a place where you feel that you are not worthy. But God is faithful and he just. He said he'll forgive you for your sins. He said, but first, we got to forgive one another. But how can I forgive you if you want to keep lying and saying you ain't did nothing? Or you want to justify? Or should I even forgive you? So should I even forgive you? And this the other person, should I even confess? So we giving the devil room. Come on, forgive the unforgivable. It's okay. Forgive the unforgivable. Because it's a new management going on up in here. It's a new management. I'm allow God to manage my heart. I'm allow him to regulate my mind. And I'm allow him to order my footsteps, baby. Because that's the only way that I'm going to be able to forgive the unforgivable. Because if I'm doing it on my own, I ain't going to be able to do it. And I ain't going to be able to confess. And I ain't going to be able to go to somebody and tell them they fought without trying to fight them. Or disrespect or go off on them. So I want to get myself together. So how am I going to get myself together? I can't get myself together. Because that thing that I go to do, I don't do. That thing I don't want to do, that's why the Bible says evil is always present. It's always there. enemy, we gotta stop giving the enemy room. We got to do this book, and we gotta do the whole book in order for us to free ourselves from who? Ourselves. I'm just saying. That's the word the Lord gave me.
Wow. That's everything he told me this morning. I am like, wow.
That's what the Lord gave me. He want us to get it together, y'all. He want us. Y'all don't know. The Lord been really, really dealing with us.
Yes.
He answering this prayer. Lord, teach me how to receive every blessing. This is it. He teaching us how to receive every blessing. Not some, but every blessing. Did you hear what I say?